Okay, Yachei Kala, Tov Shinayim, what they like to call the grand finale. Poyschim b'chvei rachsanya, yeshkoyach b'chvei safer. And Eitan and everyone that put it all together. I don't want to leave out any names, so I'll just stop here. Okay, Mishnayos Moed Aleph. I'm sorry. Oh, Mishnayos Moed Aleph. Witoisus Yontiv. We'll leave Kahati for later. Perek Habona starts off with a Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Habona, Kama Yivne V'yehechayev. Toisus says, Sorech Litain Tam, Amaitoni Bona, Acher Zrika V'hotzoah. Why in there must be some seder of the Malachas Yishkayach. There must be some seder in the Malachas. First is discussed Zrika V'hotzoah, that's very common. There are other reasons given. So after Zrika and Hotzoah, Zrika being a form of Hotzoah, comes Bona. Toisus says, Sorech Litain Tam. The Toisus Yomtiv in the Mishnayos actually gives a Ta'am. He says, the Linira lost his tam. When Taisa says Sorechian, you're supposed to be Ma'ayan. You're not supposed to close the sefer and go Vaita. Taisa says Sorechian, so the Taisa's Yontif took Taisa seriously. Sorech leading tam. So the Taisa's Yontif says, okay, I'll give a tam. The Linira lost his tam because if the Hotzo'ah, which is the last malacha in the list of the Avos Malachas, it wanted to be mefarish what's samuch lo, which is makeh bepatish, that's number 38. Ulefi shemakeh bepatish me'ein meleches binyan hu, makeh bepatish and binyan are closely related, and binyan is shchiach tfei, more than makeh bepatish, so it first explains bona and then makeh bepatish, but that's what it's doing here after Hotzoah. The real intention is to then explain Makeh B'Patish after Hotzoah, but Binyan and Makeh B'Patish are closely related. Once you're explaining Binyan and Makeh B'Patish, Binyan comes first because it's more Shchiach. So, very nice, wonderful pshat. I hope after tonight's shiur will understand a bit more deeply the connection between Makeh B'Patish and Bona, why they're similar. It's not just because they seem to be talking about the same thing. You're constructing something, you're doing something, you're making something. There's a nekuda here of Amkus, which mamish brings them close together and relates them closely. The Mishnah says, Habona kol shehu, and it gives a list of things that are kol shehu. It then says, Zahak klal, kola osa malacho, malachto miskayemes, bishabes chayav. Zahak klal in a Mishnah, when it says specific dinim, and then it says Zahak klal, it's not a qualification. Zahak klal doesn't qualify what came before. It defines it. It says that till now we were talking about pratim, and now we're going to give you a general definition, a general definition, not specific cases. You've heard the specific cases. Zehak klal. Now, many times, most of the time, the Gemara will say Zehak klal asuyei mai. What's the point? Like, what do we gain out of you telling me a klal? Just for, you know, it's literarily pleasing. But that's what Zehak klal means in a Mishnah. When it says specific cases, like here, and then it says Zehak klal, it's not a qualification. When are you mechuyev? Only if. No. It's a definition of what we just said. So right away, you say, or you should say, this is fishy. If we learn in the Mishnah, kol ha'osa melacha, u'malachto miskayemes b'shabas chayav, as the qualification, which it says on daf kuf gimel amud beis, the same lashon, that a malacha to be mechuyev in Shabbos, it has to be miskayim. It can't be here today, gone tomorrow, or here today, gone in an hour. It has to be something miskayim, which is what Daf Kuf Gimel is about. Mitzvah Shem will see Daf Kuf Gimel. That's a qualification. That you don't say Zeh HaKlal on a qualification. So the Sharet Zion learns in the Mishnah that what's going on in the Mishnah is the qualification of Daf Kuf Gimel. The Ritva certainly has, at least in one pshat, learns like that in the Mishnah. But we'll see. But Pashtus, it's not like that, because Zeh HaKlal is not a qualification, it's a definition. And we'll see that in Rashi, it's taka impossible to learn like that. And Rashi is very, very much explains Zeh HaKlal as being the defining klal of the din of Bonei Kosher who is Chayav. The defining klal is Kol Osam Locha Melachto Miskayemes Chayav. That's why Rashi learns Bishabbos goes on Ha'osem Melacha, not because he's coming to discuss the issue, because he's negating the Shita. This is what the Sharet Zion wants to say. He's negating the Shita that it's enough if it's Miskayim and Bishabbos, because that's how others learn. You see that in the Ritva. No. Rashi could hold how he holds in that Shaila. He may even hold it's enough on Shabbos if it's Miskayim. The other type of Miskayim, which we'll see in a moment, Daf Kuf Gimel's Miskayim, the qualification Miskayim. But here, it doesn't make sense to say B'Shabbos. Rashi's talking about defining Kol Shehu, which is what normally Zeh HaKlal means. Now, what's Rashi? How does Rashi learn? So to get a clarity in Rashi, you would look at the Piskei Rid. The Piskei Rid Taka says very clearly that according to Rashi, he says it clearly, and he adds the words in Rashi, which the Marshal adds, the Ein Moisef Aleha, and he assumes that that's Rashi is saying, and he argues with Rashi. So we'll see the Piskei Rid's Shita, but first we'll look at the Piskei Rid, who says, Pirish Hamore, which is Rashi, Sheyesh Mekayim and Kayotzi Bo, the Ein Mosifin Olav. And you don't add to it. This is a Dover Gomer Bifnei Atzmo. There's some sort of gemar. There's a sheer maspik. There's enough of a sheer here that you've created a usable item. And this is very important in Rashi. First of all, because Rashi says so. And the Piskei Rid says that Rashi says so. And he argues on this Nakuda. There are people that leave it this way. And even if he will be adding on to it, which is exactly how Rashi learns on Daf Kuf Gimel. When the Gemara says Zeh HaKlal La'asuye Mai, what is the generalization coming to include? La'asuye D'chok Kepizu B'kaba, and Rashi says he carves out, let's say, in a piece of wood, and you could carve out a kav, which is 6 lugin, and he carves out 3, and he intends to complete carving it out. We'll assume it's binyan. We'll assume it's something that's mechubel karka. Not no gain. We won't get into binyan b'kalim. Right? So he's going to be Mosif to what he's doing. But Yeshem Akaiman came. Rashi says this beferish in the Gimel Amud Aleph. And that's what the Zeh HaKlal comes to make sure you understand the klal. That Yeshem Akaiman came. He may be planning on adding to it. It's in some sense, it's a Dover Gomor. It's a Dover Gomor in some sense. And that's the definition of Kol Shehu. Kol Shehu, it's not a qualification that it has to be Miskayim in order to be Mechuyev. No, we're defining Kol Shehu. The definition of Kol Shehu is Zeh HaKlal. If it's something that has a usage, you've created something that people use, and there are people that leave it this way with whatever Kol Shehu you've created, whatever the Kol Shehu is, so that's enough of binyan. That's enough of binyan, and that's Boina Kol Shehu. That Dover Miskayim doesn't mean Miskayim it lasts, it doesn't dissipate. It means it's Miskayim, it stays that way. This is how it is. In some sense, you've completed the binyan. That's enough. If some people leave it that way. Now, the Piskei Rid argues with Rashi. He says, what? The Im Kain, you're only Mechuya for Kol Shehu if there are people that leave it this way? The imkain achlo yaso so koshu shein akrav od malocha, and people leave it that way. Ainu chayav? No. Ela koshu sheyase yumuchuya for binyan koshu, whether you do it betchilos hamalocha, beemtsa hamalocha, besof hamalocha, even if osid lahosav all of harbe, and it's the derech of people to be mosav harbe, koshu is koshu, and that's yumuchuya for that. What does it mean? Miskayemes kol sheinu osed lekalkalo. You won't destroy. When you add to it, you won't destroy what you've already built up. You'll leave it the way it is, and you'll add on to it. But even if it bechefza has to be added on to, no one will use it this way, says the Tosfos Rid, Piskei Rid, it's not Tosfos Rid. You're mechuyev, and that's what kol shehu means. Kol shehu means kol shehu, and it has nothing to do. And that's what, and Dover Miskayim doesn't mean what Rashi says it means, but it means that you won't destroy it. It's going to stay. It won't be destroyed. And therefore, when it gets to Chok Kupiza Bakava, the Tosfos Rid L'Shitaso learns that it's even a very small amount. Rashi probably picked three Kavin on purpose, because there are people that leave it as three Kavin, and the Tosfos Rid Takis Chaylik, and says it could be even a Mashu, even a kol shehu. Okay, we'll come back to this machlokes first, and understand what is the machlokes, what are they chaylikid, what nekuda are they chaylikid. Just to clarify, according to the Tosfos Rid, any hit kadmut in a binyan, even kol shehu, is called binyan kol shehu. Any hit kadmut. And according to Rashi, the chiyuv of kol shehu in the Mishnah is only that there are those who would leave it this way, and this is the way it would be. We're going to talk about all that. So again, according to Rashi, the Mishnah is saying kol shehu is something that is in some sense a dover gomor, and there are people that leave it that way. And bedafka, that's what the Mishnah says, and the Piskei Rid says according to that you're not mechuyev. Huh? And he says no. Any hit kadmut bebinyan. So what are they arguing about? What's the nekudas hamachlokas we have to understand, and how is it nogeya their havana of the din of kol shehu in the Mishnah? Is it nogeya their understanding of kol shehu, and how is it nogeya their understanding of kol shehu? The Gemara starts off kol shehu l'may chazya and gives three cases, three stories where you would make a binyan kol shehu. And Tosfos speaks out that we have to explain kol shehu l'may chazya because in Svara, it wouldn't be called a binyan with kol shehu. That's what Tosfos says. Mashenk and Hutsa, we have no problem with it being b'kol shehu. So we're going, obviously, to explain Tosfos. Tosfos doesn't explain much, we'll explain it. The first question is, what's going on here? What's wrong with Shmuel's case that I take a brick and I add it to a building? I'm moisef ala binyan. So even kol shehu, I take one brick, any hit kadmut in the binyan, to use like the way the Tosfos Rid would say it, any hit kadmut, like what is the more one? Any addition to a binyan? I mean, what's Rabbi Lezer Rabacha Bayakov's case? The third case is there's a hole in the wall and I stuffed it up because my building looks ugly. The building looks ugly. What do you say it looks ugly for? Who cares if it looks ugly? Just say that you filled up the hole and you fixed up the binyan, and that's binyan. So even kol shehu. Shmuel says that. Shmuel says you add you put a stone down, and that's already binyan. So it kol shehu. Grada, you say, wait a second. Taka, something's fishy. Because if you look at Shmuel's case, you're not going to leave it like that. What's Rashi going to do with Shmuel's case? You're building a building. You're not going to leave the building with a brick on top of the wall. You're going to build a building. You're going to build a whole wall. No one's going to leave a wall like that. So wait, taka, like, you see from that gufa, first of all, why didn't the Gemara give a simple case? Binyan kol shehu means, I go, there's a hole in the wall, I fill it up. There's a wall being built, I take a brick or a stone, no matter how small, I slap it on. With cement, without cement, whatever the case is. Tato, metziah, we have cases, we are full of cases. We have the cases of the braisa, the bottom row, with it, middle row, there, you have to. I mean, all the cases of the Gemara are pashut, simple cases. Why don't the Gemara give simple cases for kol shehu? Especially, again, we see taka loit Rashi, it can't, because you're not going to leave it that way. So taka, what's going on? Why are you mechuyev in those cases for kol shehu? Why doesn't the Gemara say that's the case? And what's Rashi going to do with those cases?
You have on Dafayan Gimel Amud Beis in Masechet Shabbos, it says if you have a mound, and you take away the mound and you level the field. So if it's in the field, it's Chayrish. If it's in the house, it's Binyan. Well, that's Kol Shehu. You have a little mound in your house and you level the floor and you take it away. It's Binyan. It happened in the house. Binyan Kol Shehu. Wonderful. The Gemara says you have a Guma in the field. You fill it up. In the field, it's Chayrish. In the house, it's Binyan. Beautiful case of Kol Shehu. The Gra on the Mishnah, Grada says those cases. So why doesn't the Gemara say those cases? What's the Gemara looking for cases? And it comes up with these elaborate cases. And how will Rashi fit with Shmuel's case and the Bryce's cases, where you see clearly that if you're just adding on to the binyan, that's binyan. You don't have to build a whole building. If you look at the Mishnah, and you're sensitive to the Lashon HaMishnah, you see almost a stira minei ubei. Kama yivne v'yehei chayav. So the Mishnah assumes that you need a shear by binyan, and it's just a question of how much that shear is. Kama yivne v'yehei chayav. But then it gives the answer, habayna kol shehu. So now what's the answer that your premise was wrong and you don't need a shear? It's modern, it's strange. Not the biggest kash in the world, don't shout out Teirutzim, but the Mishnah structure is very strange. It makes an assumption, and it asks, so how much? And it basically answers kol shehu, which is like saying there's no shear. So is it being chozer from its premise in the question? I'm going to jump to explain a certain concept. I'm going to jump to a different sugyan Shabbos, which has no shaychus to this one, except the shaychus will be the tzushtel that I want to make. There's a Gemara in the third perek that talks about bishul, and it talks about being mevashal water, and we know it has to reach the level of yatzoledes bo, and that's bishul. Then it talks about shemen. Very, very strange sugya in the third perek in Shabbos. There's one Tana that holds that there's no bishul by shemen. Ain bishul b'shemen. You can cook it up, you could fry it, you could do what you want to it. We'll have now, maybe we have shemen out there, we'll have a live demonstration of cooking shemen. But ain bishul b'shemen. So there's one man diomar, ain bishul b'shemen. There's another man diomar, yesh bishul b'shemen. And there's a third man diomar that you're either bishul by shemen, even if it does not reach yatzoledes bo. Hafsharoso zehu bishulo. This is all in the third parak in the Braisa, Tonu Rabbanon. What's shemen? Like, what's magic about shemen that there's no bishul? If I cook it up, it's cooking, it's bubbling. However you want to define bishul as yatzoledes bo, define bishul as bubbling, however you want to define it. Like, what do you mean there's no bishul by shemen? The answer is that in many Melachos Shabbos, it's not necessarily all Melachos Shabbos, but certainly some Melachos Shabbos, the Melacha is not a verb, but a noun. What do I mean? The Isser is not to cook. It's not that you should do the pa'ula of cooking, but it's rather that you shouldn't create a cooked food. It's the noun, binyan, bishul is osur, meaning to create a cooked food. Not the verb, but to create the noun, to create a dover mavushal. And it's really a lengthy inyan that I could be myrich on itself, but I won't. But you see from many places the idea of making a hard metal soft and making a soft metal hard. That what we're talking about by bishul is creating, making a fundamental shinui in the object through the application of heat. But the malacha is to do a bishul, not your act of bishul. Your act of bishul by oil, I'll tell you right now, your act of bishul by oil is the same act of bishul as by mayim, as by anything, as by a raw chicken. You mevashal it, you mevashal shemen too. But Shemen, the Gemara knows, according to all the Mandiyomer, Shemen does not undergo a fundamental change as a food when you cook it. It has a different use that we'll see. See, that's going to be the machlokas. The machlokas, whether the yesh bishul b'shemen or ain bishul b'shemen, whether the change that shemen undergoes, it's a utilitarian change. When you heat up shemen, you can do things with it when you're as a food that you can't do. But it's the usage. It's not, when you cook an egg, it becomes a different food. Water is a huge shaila in the Rishonim and the Achronim. Why there's bishul in water? The Rambam, by the way, indeed says that it's a Rambam that you can needs a lot of explanation and talking about. The Rambam says if you cook something that's already cooked or something that doesn't need cooking, ain't tzorech bishul, you're not over bishul. Now the Rambam certainly doesn't mean that you're not over bishul if you cook something that doesn't need cooking, like an apple. Right, avada you're overcooking, because he means if you don't fundamentally change it as a food, he means that man the omer of shemen, even though he doesn't paskin that way, but that's what he's talking about. Something that would not undergo a fundamental change through the application of heat as a food, so then you're not mechuyef for bishul, because that's what bishul is, and that's why there's a man the omer of ein bishul b'shemen, because again, it's not the act of cooking. I'm cooking it. I'm cooking it. But there's no bishul as a shinoi object, as food. Like you think of an egg, think of a raw chicken, becomes edible. Now this is said l'chumra too. That's why there's a mandiyomer by shemen, hafsharosel zehu bishulo. Because it's possible that through the application of heat, the change of shemen, the change in shemen, according to that mandiyomer, that the utilitarian change of shemen blibes a shinui to be mechayev you for bishul takes place even though it's not yad soledus bo, and that's why there's a mandiyomer in the Gemara hafsharosel zehu bishulo, which makes me really not understand a bir halacha. We're in Simon Shin Yud Ches, the mechaber basically paskins like paskins a mishnah that Irui Klisheni is not Mavashel. It's in Shin and Shin Yud Ches, if Dalit. Irui Klisheni is not Mavashel. That's called Medichin also Bechamin B'Shabbos. But there are certain things, Maliach Yashon, whether it's herring or different types of fish, Kul Yisa Ispanin, that Einan Tzvichin Bishel Ela Ma'at, V'Hadachoson Hi Gemar Malachton. It's basically a Mishnah. So that's what the Shulchan Aruch paskins. That Irui Klisheni is mevashel these things. They're super duper kale bishul. But the Bir Halacha assumes it has to be yad soledes. And he says, l'chayra nire, shedzeh hu dafka k'sheyad soledes bo. Va'al zeh, komar shom b'mishnah. That's what the Mishnah means when it says, chutz memeliach hayoshon, v'kul yosa ispanin, shahadachosan igamar malachton. Ushari achronim lo hizkiru heter raktsonein. Only if the water is cold and you create a food through washing it off in cold water, so then there's a din about makam patish by food. But the only din is cold. Why did achronim and the Taz and all the others only talk about cold? They could be talking about hot if it's not yad soledes bo. Why are they talking about tsoinen? For tzorech iyun. I don't see what his pella is. You see clearly in the sugi of shemen that there's a mandiyomar hafsharoson zehu bishulon, that if the heat creates a change in the object, that's called bishul. There's nothing magic about yad soledes bo. In normal foods, it's only yad soledes that cooks. But if just like you find by shemen, there's a mandiyomar hafsharoson zehu bishulon, so here it is everybody's moda that by kulya soispanin and the dag maluach, that it's not called hafsharoson zui gemar malachton. It's not called hafsharoson zehu bishulon. It's called zui gemar malachton. But like, oh, it has to be yad soledes. No, it doesn't. There's a mandiyomer that shemen doesn't need yad soledes. It's heat that creates a fundamental change in an object as a food. By shemen, it's a certain utilitarian fundamental change. I just brought in this whole Esek of Bishul, number one, to take up some more time, and number two, to introduce the idea that sometimes a malacha is the verb doing something, and sometimes it's the noun creating the end result, the toitzah, I'll call it. I like to think of it as the verb and the noun. Binyan, and this is the amkus that it's like makeh bepatish. Binyan is not the act of building. Binyan's a noun. You're creating a binyan. You're making a binyan. And now we have to know what's called a binyan. Not what's the sheer of an act of boneh. We're not talking about the act of boneh. You're mechuyah for creating a binyan. So building, maybe you have to do the World Trade Center? Like, what do I have to do to make a building? So the Mishnah says, in other words, binyan is like bishul, in that it's not the verb, the act of building, but the noun to create a binyan. Now, binyan kol shehu is called a binyan. That's what the Mishnah says. The most minute, the most minor, but now Rashi takes on a whole, Rashi's geshmak. If it's a dover gomor, and this is the amkus of the Tosfos Yontef Tzustel between makeh bepatish and binyan. If it's a dover gomor, you've created something and people would use it this way. That's why a kol shehu has the toar, the chashivus of the shem binyan, because people use it. This is what people use. There are people that would leave it that way. So according to Rashi, that's what it means, miskayim. It stays that way. Not the daf kuf gimel's miskayim, because that klal is not a qualification, it's a definition. We're not talking about the act of building, but we're talking about what's called a binyan. Noun, the noun. What's called a binyan? Call it the word building. What's called a binyan? What's called a constructed item? Kol shehu, as long as people leave it that way. That's what Rashi's saying. It's a dover gomer. That's a chashivas. That's why you can call kol shehu binyan. Such a chashiv a word for such a small little nothing. Lamai chazya, what are you going to do? So the Gemara looks for cases. What about cases? The Gemara looks for cases. A small little hole in the ground, a hole in the wall. But wait a second. We ask that there are cases of binyan kol shehu that don't need such fancy cases, right? Forget about Rav Acha bar Yaakov, that it looks ugly. I see a hole in the wall and I fill it in. I'm a chuya for binyan. I put a brick on a wall. I'm a chuya for binyan. Taka, why isn't that the binyan kol shehu of the Mishnah? Taka. So now we're going to fly to Maseches Trumas. Maseches Trumas, Perek Dalet, where the Mishnah says as follows. We know I have Tevel and Amafrish Trum. We'll do Amafrish Meiser, Amafrish a tenth. Now, if you're a rich farmer, a good farmer, you have hundreds of bushels of wheat. You can't take off a tenth at one time. What are you going to do? So, you think, I don't know, how do you take off Meiser? Like, I don't know, we take off Meiser with, like, you know, we have two apples there. What do you do if you have hundreds of bushels? How do you take off? You can't take off a tenth at one time. You take off a little and a little more and a little more and a little more. And you put it aside and you say, arezumais, until you reach a tenth. Now what happens if you say, I'm tired. I'm going to do the rest tomorrow. So you take off a 20th and then I'll do the rest tomorrow. That's the first mission in Perek Dalet of Trumas. A mafrish mitzus maisus. You only did a little. What's the din? You really created a huge problem here. If you know your maestros, you've created a problem that maybe you were masakin, let's say you took off half, you took off a 20th. So you were masakin half of your tefuah. It's called a tenth on half your tefuah. Now you made a whole balagan. You have tevel and thing mixed in zeh bezeh. Now you don't know what to do. So the Mishnah says, ein baya. You could continue being mafrish, and until you hit a tenth, it's fine, it's good. But if you want to be mafrish mi mokom acher, that's all if you're working internally with these 100 bushels. But if you want to go somewhere else and be mafrish on this after you've done half, then it's a big problem. because now we look at it that you finished and you only did a fifth, so you were afresh, and now you have a balagan. What do you see from this Mishnah? That when a person, again, it's just a mashal, you can say this mashal about many, many things. It's just that I learned this Mishnah today, so I thanked Hashem. When you do things in stages, because you can't do it all at once, you got to do it in stages. So you don't view the various stages as separate acts, separate truma designations, a fifth, a 20th, and another 20th, or a 50th and another 50th. You don't view it as separate truma designations, and each of which is a truma or miser on tzas of the tfua, but you view it as one long truma designation that you're doing in stages. And there it's rather not chal till the end. It's not chal till the end. That's the din by truma. It's not chal till you finish, because it's a miser. There's a certain amount you have to take, so it's not chal till the end. When I'm building a building, let's say someone hits me. You don't say he hit my hand. He hit part of me, right? The units make up the whole. But kids, what I'm trying to say, in terms of the malacha, that I'm not allowed to make a binyan, so if I make any part of the binyan, I'm making the binyan. I'm contributing, I'm doing a stage in the binyan. That is not called binyan kolshehu. The binyan there is the whole building, and I'm doing part of the building, just like I'm taking part of the miser, right? All these cases of Shmuel, where you put a stone on, of the Braiso, where you put a stone on the bottom, in the middle, if you put a hole in the wall, when you're dealing with the malacha, is not me to build, it's to make a binyan. A binyan is the Dover HaNigmar. If I'm dealing with a Dover HaNigmar, and I'm doing one of the stages of the Dover HaNigmar, then we look at it from the perspective of the whole binyan, and I'm building a building. There's no din you have to build a whole building. You can contribute to the building. You can do a part of the building. That's not called binyan kol shehu, because binyan is a noun, not a verb. So we're not talking about how much you did. We're talking about what you created. You're creating a binyan. That's why all of those cases, the gavshushis and the, you took away a mound in your house. You fixed the floor of your house. You didn't, that's not kosher. You were buying the whole floor of your house. You took away a mound, or you dug a hole. Whatever it is. The Mishnah, that's not kosher. You're not going to call that binyan kosher. That's binyan of the binyan. You did a part of it. That's valid. That's not what we're talking about in the Mishnah, Kama Yivna V'Yehechayev Aboina Kol Shehu, because binyan is not a verb, it's a noun. So if you put a layer of bricks, or one brick, we look at it from the perspective of the whole binyan. You're doing a stage of the ultimate gemar of the building. That's not Kol Shehu by any stretch of the imagination. That's why the Gemara, that's not what the Mishnah is talking about, not according to Rashi. And therefore the Gemara has to ask Lamai Chazya, and it has to give somewhat far-fetched cases, but fancy cases, to look for a dover gomur bifnei atzmo, that's a kol shehu. But just to say I put a brick on a wall, that's not called kol shehu. That's called a binyan gomur that I contributed to, that I did one of the stages. That's why I showed you by the Mishnah in Trumas, that when you have something that's a long process, it takes a lot of stages, and you do one of the stages, we look at it from the perspective of the entire thing. We don't split up the stages and look at each chelek bifnei atzmo and say, this is all you did. We look at it, you say, I helped build that building, right? That's what you say. You say, I walked into the room. You don't say, I walked on this tile, right? We look at the whole thing. That's why those are not cases, and that's why all of those cases would not be a teretz to the Gemara, because we're looking for the binyan, the noun, kol shehu, not binyan, the verb.
And you didn't finish the wall ever?
What?
You didn't finish the wall ever? So put up a brick of something that never got to be a noun, or you're not chayev until the whole thing's done?
You're chayev because you're chayev for any stage, but that's not the din of kosher. That's not the din of binyan kosher.
The only the stage that's still tonight, you got to a gemara, this thing never got finished.
That would be totally in the machlekes on Daf Kuf Gimel. And with when you want to write a whole pasuk, or you want to write a whole word, or you want to weave a whole beged, where there's taka ashitas Rav Shimon that holds that if you have to look at the gemar of what he wants to do, but we hold you don't have to. In other words, whatever you do, you can, even if it stops in the middle, that's the other kind of miskayim. That's a different shear, but that's not the kol shu of our Mishnah. The Tosfos Rid might hold it is. I'm talking about Rashi now, and that's why Rashi needs something that's miskayim as it is, that you're not going to be moisif on it, because we're talking about a koshu as a dover gomer as a binyan.
The point is, the Rashi's more machmir than even like half a brick.
I don't know. What, I'm not sure what machmir.
Meaning any shear? There's no minimum shear according to Rashi.
Well, koshu means there's no minimum shear. I don't know if according to the Tosfos Rid there would be a minimum shear. I'm explaining, let me explain the Lashon HaMishnah that I said was Shver. There is a minimum shear. The Mishnah remains with its premise. Kama yiv, what was the, because now, what was the Mishnah's premise? That there's a minimum shear. What could be called a binyan? We're talking about the noun. So kosher is the answer, but you still need something that's called a binyan. You know, we're left with our premise that you need something that has the toar, tovav aleph reish, that has the toar binyan. That we remain with that premise. We just answered that kol shu. Then the Gemara says, "Taka l'may chazi." What are you talking about? And it gives three cases.
The Rav is not saying that each stage, since it's done this way, that's considered kiyum. And the Rav is saying the kiyum is only at the end.
Which kiyum are you talking? Meanwhile, I'm talking about Dover Miskayim in the sense of Rashi in the Mishnah. I didn't talk about Kuv Gimel Amud Beis's Miskayim. Rashi's Miskayim in the Mishnah is the definition of Kol Shehu, something that's somewhat Nigmar. It would, some people would leave it this way.
No,
I'm going to get to Daf Kuv Gimel
and.
No, that's what, the reason that's not Shver on Rashi is because that's not Binyan Kol Shehu. That's a stage in a regular Binyan.
The Rav is saying what he's saying. You can say that in terms of the stage, that is Kiyum for that stage because it's done in stages.
No, I'm not saying that because then the Gemara could have said that as a tzir for Kol Shehu L'may Chazya. According to the way you're saying it, then it's Vaita Shver. To my mind, why didn't the Gemara say that as a teretz? What do you mean, L'may Chazya? You put a brick on the wall. You did a stage. I'm saying Rashi. That's why Rashi, that's what the whole Tosfos Rid is about. That Rashi says people would leave it this way. Because we're looking not for a binyan noun stage. We're talking about a binyan dover gomer that a person would not be mosif on. He would leave it this way. It's mamish a geherig a binyan. Geherig means proper in Yiddish.
I understand, but the problem is
so far I talked Hebrew and Yiddish.
The problem is Rashi by Oreg is in the Pishanin, other Oreg begged the Omechad, Tosin Napa, the Bas Achas, Umasil, Ose.
That's talking about a different. That's what I'm going to call, and I'll get to it hopefully. He's talking about Daf Kuv Gimel's Miskayim Bekach. Rashi says, Einu Nistar. That's a very different Miskayim than the Mishnah. That's my point. In the Mishnah, the Din Miskayim cannot really logically be a qualification, only if it's Miskayim. It has to be a definition of Kol Shehu. So according to Rashi, it's beautiful that it's a definition of Kol Shehu. I can either answer questions or I could finish. I don't mind which I do, but someone has to decide. No, really, I don't mean it badly. I'm not going to finish if I answer questions. I don't mind if I don't finish. What I have at the end is not so good. Like, it's fine. What should I do? I don't want... Okay, what were you going to ask? I don't want you to be the one that... it's challah. But since no one else is raising their hand to ask a question, so from now on, it's challah.
Focusing on what you said, there's only
You're talking about adding a brick to a row of stones? That's not our Mishnah. That's very much not our Mishnah. I'm saying Rashi would say that's not even called binyan kol shel. That's called binyan, because we're talking about the noun, not the verb. We're not talking about what you're doing. We're talking about what you're building. So that would, the reason the Gemara doesn't give that case is because that wouldn't be called binyan kol shel. And taka like Rashi is beautiful, because no one would leave it that way, because you would keep building. And Rashi requires that you would leave it that way, because Rashi's talking about a binyan, the noun. Like, it all comes together. Okay. What? That's a subject for a different shir, the differences between. But Adarabba, I'm saying that's the amkus of the Tosfos Yontif, that binyan and makeh bepatish have to both have both an element of gemar. And that's what Rashi says, that you're going to leave it this way, you won't be mosif on it. The differences, the nuances of difference between makeh bepatish and binyan is a subject for another shir. I think Rav Safra talked about it, that's a subject, it's a different subject. But I'm saying the amkus of the Tosfos Yontif is that binyan has an element of gemar. Okay. Excuse me, I did this in Ashtigal Rosh. Okay, good. I thought Rav Safra would catch me from Rashi by Shmuel, where Rashi does call Shmuel bone kosher. Rashi says, "Hametzadei de so'even." Rashi uses the word at the end of Rashi, "Habi bone kosher." The Yesh Mekayman came below tit. So you say, Rabbi Milinowitz, we got you. Rashi calls Shmuel's case bone kosher. To which I'll respond, first of all, there has to be a teretz, which I'll tell you in a moment. So why didn't the Gemara say that as the simple answer, l'may chazya? And according to Rashi, and Rashi's ritzini according to the Tosfos Rid, Rashi didn't just throw away the line, ein mosifon aleha, that some people keep it this way. Rashi's very serious, as the Tosfos Rid. He argues with Rashi. So you're not going to leave it that way in Shmuel's case. So taka, what does Rashi mean? So I want to say a yesod. And the yesod is the yesod of a yesod. I never built a building in my life, but this much I know. Well, I don't know, but I'm saying it to fan for Rashi. The yesod is not the bottom floor. The yesod of a building is a dover bithnei atzmo that you create in order to make the ground ro'ui lebinyan. No, you can't just, I don't know that if you can or you can't. So I'm just saying it. But whoever knows how to build probably knows that this is correct. You can't just put up a building. You can't just go over to ground and put up a building. You need a yesod. But the yesod, and it's beautiful, because you know that the Rambam holds that Shmuel's din is makeh bepatish, not binyan? That means, that certainly looks at the yesod of the binyan as a dover bifnei atzmo, and I'm making a yesod. So I'm just using that yesod, pun intended, I'm just using that yesod to be able to end for Rashi too. And Rashi holds it's a fourth teretz in the Gemara. That's mamish what I hold. That Rashi holds that Shmuel is saying a teretz also. That this is another teretz. It's taka binyan kol shehu, because when you look at the yesod, and the yesod of the binyan is to be misakin the karka in order to prepare it to put up a building, but it's a double b'fnei atzmo, it's not the bottom floor, and now you're going to build more floors. So Shmuel's case is taka, another case of binyan kol shehu, taka. Now, Tav Kuf Gimel Amud Beis uses a similar lashon to the Mishnah, but I'm saying, and I've said it already, that there it's a qualification. That you're not mechuyah from melacha unless it's miskayim. Now look how beautiful this is. Look how Rashi's lashon is different. If you look at Rashi's lashon, Dibri Amaschol Shem Yishimin, the second Rashi on Daf Kuf Gimel Amud Beis, he says, Ulekabi beged nami shnei chutin ubenapa shnei bota shem miskayimin kach, lefi she'en adam oreg beged biyom echad, ba'osa napa ba'basachas, umaschol ba'osa kidei kiyum shelo yehe nistor me'elov. That's what we're looking for on Daf Kuf Gimel Amud Beis. We're looking for something that won't come apart. He doesn't say what he says in the Mishnah, that it's Miskayim Kain, that you won't be Mosif on it. He says it's not going to come apart. It's not going to be Misparek. It's something of some sustainability. And that's already a qualification. In every Malacha, like writing, like this Chilukim, which we probably won't get to, but there are nuances of Chilukim in that Gufa. What does Miskayim mean? But there it's the Miskayim of qualification, not of definition of Kolshu. And that's why Rashi Taka holds back and doesn't say what he says in the Mishnah, but he says just lo yehi nistar me'elov. That's doesn't show a different din. Now, okay, there's a Tosus here that really I wanted to explain. Tosus, Rav Shimon Shita is Yitaka have to do the whole thing you intended to do. If you wanted to make a whole beged, you have to make a whole beged, not just part of the beged. Now, Tosus has cases where Rav Shimon's Modeh, like if you wanted to write a whole pasuk, a word is enough. Rav Shimon's Modeh by Rav Shimon's Modeh by Ariga's Beged. I'm sorry. By Ariga's Beged, Rav Shimon's Modeh, by Asiyas Napa, Rav Shimon's Modeh, but by Greiris, there are cases where Rav Shimon's Modeh and cases where he's Cholik. And it's not clear when he holds Dover Miskayim is enough, and when he holds you have to do your whole intention to do whatever it is you wanted to do. So Tosfos says a somewhat obscure teretz that if you're creating something, a Dover Chodo, Sheina Ba'olam, then Rav Shimon's Modeh, that you only need Shnei Bati Nirin. But if you're doing, if you're only being Mesakein something that already exists, you need a more chashuv a thing. So it's not clear what Tosfos is saying. Very briefly, I was thinking that Tosfos means that if all you need is Shelo Yehei Nistar, if Rav Shimon holds your machshav is koveya the malacha, like just like binyan. No, I'm not allowed to build a building, so I'm not allowed to be oreg a beged. So he holds bistoma. Maybe it's only two chutin or two shnei batei nirin or whatever. But if I want to build a building, then if I want to be oreg a beged, then the malacha is my is not my doing, but the malacha becomes a beged. But once it has a chashivas bifnei atzmo, you created a new thing in the world, and the whole shir is only that it's lo yehi nistar me'elov lashon Rashi. That's when Rav Shimon's Modeh. Now, I'm explaining Tosfos very, very quickly. I'm not elaborating at all. That Rav Shimon's Modeh, that when the whole requirement is lo yehi nistar me'elov, then he's Modeh. You only need Shnei Bati Nirin. You only need part of what you intended to do. But that's only if it has a certain chashivus. It's chashivus as a beged, as a piece of building material, as a or ma'ubad. See, there's two ways you can get that chashivus to make it into a malacha, a chetz of a malacha. You can do it through Rav Shimon holds through machshava, but that's what Tosfos says mechadish, that if you bring something into the world, you create something that wasn't here before. It has a chashivus bifnei atzmo. So that's what I'm explaining Tosfos teretz. Rav Shimon's Modeh, that when it has a chashivus bifnei, Rav Shimon is saying that you can't write. You can't write a word. So the word is what you decide. You want to write a word. And all the other cases where Rav Shimon's chaylik is because his machshava is koveya the malacha. But when Tosfos is mechadish, since you see Rav Shimon's Modeh in so many cases, that when you create something new that has a chashivus bifnei atzmo mitzad the malacha, and now it's just a question of shelo yehi nistar me'elov. So Rav Shimon's Modeh, that it's enough, only part of it. Let me run through to the end. Because now, all right, I'll stop here really, because this is really the Inyan. I wanted to go into the Inyan of Binyan Lashaw and the Yerushalmi, and thank for what Rabbi Safa sweated over so long. So, now the truth is, I let me just explain in terms of what we said. You have a Binyan Kva, which lasts for a long time, okay? I won't go into what's called a long time.
Zman Rav. A binyan aroi, which is also midrabbonon, is that mitzaratzmo, the binyan, is not miskayim zman rav. That's called a binyan aroi. A binyan l'sho'a means that mitzaratzmo, it could be miskayim zman rav, mitzaratzmo, but you intend to take it apart after a while. That's called a binyan l'sho'a, that your intention is saying they're going to be soiserit after a while. Now, we have cases, if you know Hilchus Shabbos, where you have where it's derech tashmisho bekach, it's called. You have a cover of a bor, you put it on, you take it off. Or a kisui bor, or a bekach chalon. Midrabonon, you need a handle to make it nicker. But it's clear there that a binyan, I'm being mechadish this category. A binyan, and everybody's mode, and that's why there's no steerers, everything's good. You'll know what I'm talking about. A binyan l'shaw, that it's derech tashmisho bekach, it's a binyan l'shaw because that's how you use it. You put it on, you take it off. That's how it's used. Everybody's mode, that's mutter. That's nothing to do with Yushalmi, and it's a fair shulchan aruch with kisui habor, and the machlokas is with handle. The handles are drabonim, and they hecker. But it's, If the binyan l'sho'a, your kavona, is because of derech tashmisho, that's how the thing's used, that's for sure mutter. It's used, it's never a binyan, that's, that, if it's derech tashmisho, it is chal in the muhus of the thing, because that's how it's used. So, it's a temporary thing, on, off, in, out. Binyan l'sho'a is for sure mutter. I hold that Toisus by the hair, by Ariga, is saying that that's like a binyan l'shaw, that it's derech tashmisho. Because no one keeps their hair braided, because spiders will come and they'll make webs in the hair. If you know what if you keep your hair braided and you never sulcer to clear, you're going to get spider webs in your hair. I hold that the pshat and Toisus by derech tashmisho, by the hair, is that it's like derech tashmisho of a kisui bor vadus, that it's, The reason it's a binyan l'shaw is because it's derech tashmisho bekach. That's how it's used. So that certainly becomes part of the muhus of the binyan, of the thing. As we said, this is all really goes back to the idea that binyan is a noun, not a verb, the melechas binyan. So we're always clarifying like what type of binyan it is, binyan kvar, binyan aroi. A binyan l'shaw, that's a binyan l'shaw mitzad, that's how it's used, is for sure mutter. The and that's why the whole Mishnah Berurah with the Yerushalmi with Rashi, it's not Negeya, The whole Yerushalmi is because their intention, when they intended, and the Yerushalmi says binyan l'shaw havi binyan, is because it wasn't derech tashmisho. They knew they were going into Eretz Yisrael. That's the second what the Yerushalmi ends up saying. So they intended. So then the Yerushalmi's machadish. You could be that enechan. Again, binyan aroi is mitzad the binyan. It's only going to last for a short time. It's like Rashi's nistar me'elov. It's going to be nistar me'elov. Whether it's a day or a week or 3 days, doesn't interest me now. Whatever the shiur is, the shiur is. But we're dealing with nistar me'elov. But the binyan l'shaw, you're already dealing with, you're dealing with something that mitzad atzmuso is a binyan kva. But you intend to be mefarakit. So if your intention to be mefarakit is mitzad the tashmish of the thing, that's for sure mutter. And I hold that's what Tosfos is saying by the hair. But if it's mitzad face tzivui Hashem, so mitzad tzivui Hashem, so it's for an outside force. It's an outside force, but the binyan itself is this. So binyan l'shaw, that's what Yerushalmi says. Binyan l'shaw havi binyan. Okay. Stop. Work it out.